everyone, and welcome to minute 74 of season 8 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast, where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Niall McGowan of the Bat Minute. Welcome back to the show, Niall.
Yep, I'm always happy to be here, Rob. Thank you for having me during this it's very somber, very serious, very dramatic film.
Oh, well, in all fairness, this minute we have a lot more going on.
Yes.
a lot more. So minute 74 begins with continuing the explosions in silhouette and ends with DeWitt introducing himself. Mm-hmm. So yesterday we ended things with the men walking through the night with a lot of explosions around them and stuff like that, which was we mentioned was really cool to watch and look at how they did it. And we continue with that today.
Yeah.
We have a few seconds of them doing that, and then it turns into daylight, and we're actually somewhere else. Surprisingly.
Yeah. We get a lot of the a lot of guys lying around, basically.
Well, before that, we get foliage. Yeah, we get to actually foliage. See exactly. We get to see that they're in the woods somewhere. Obviously, we know they're in France, they're in the Normandy area, but they're walking through the woods here. Miller is leading the group as they're going through. And they come across some metal contraption that looks like it crashed. Surprisingly, that's why it looks that way, because it did. and yeah, exactly. And then we start hearing in the distance people talking. We hear someone say, "Who's got sulfur powder?" And someone goes, "Medic, my buddy's bleeding. He needs a tourniquet." And after they make it through the make it to the clearing, I guess you can say. So we are shown, along with everybody else, that there are just tons and tons of soldiers just lying around, most of them bandaged, in some wounded shape or form. That something strange has happened here. We're not 100% sure exactly what happened and how it happened.
Convey injury through the classic old thing of a head bandage with a bit of blood on it, which is one of the old things. Like, how do you show someone's been wounded in a very easy to go way? Yep, this is the old age old head bandage with a little spot of blood there. It's like a picture that says 1,000 words.
That's true. But I mean, what I like about it is the fact that as you said, there's always a little bit of blood there. What does that mean that it wasn't packed properly, or as you said, is it just to tell us that hey, wait a second, something is this is a head injury.
yeah. Was it like, oh, you guys are supposed to have your helmets on all the time? But then, as we see, like in the final battle. I think Upham's good. I don't think he has that helmet on at one moment. The entire final battle, he's running around through the streets like, "Where's your helmet, dude? What the hell are you doing?"
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typical Upham. What can he do? Yeah. And
because your head is the most valuable thing you got. What are you doing?
That's true. And what's great about it is the way that they do this is they have, Miller just look around and he immediately just tells Wade. He goes, "Wade, see what you can do here."
Yeah.
And, Wade is very quick to reply. And, he starts moving towards some of the wounded. And then Miller tries to reassure everyone and says, "Hold on, fellas. It won't be much longer." Now, I don't know what exactly he's trying to tell them, but that it won't be much longer. What won't be much longer? It's like when they met Hill. And Paul Giamatti and he thought that they were their relief. So he's making it sound, that here we're here to relieve you. We're here to help you.
It won't be much longer. It's like, don't worry, the sweet embrace of death is just around the corner, fellas.
That's right. Yeah, it's
my guy's got a lot of morphine. He's got enough to get you all over the Rainbow Bridge here.
That's right. And I guess in some ways he's trying to psychologically calm them down that they're in good hands and stuff like that.
Because he does have the he has obviously the rank on his jacket or whatever, but then just the aura of a guy who swaggers in, who seems to know what he's doing, just saying like, oh, don't worry, this is all in hand. It's like, oh, someone's doing something then.
That's like, true. That's true. And then Wade shows up next to one of the guys and goes, how are we doing here? And then one of the guys responds, all right, yeah, doing all right, don't worry about it. Doc's in town, it's all right. And then Wade goes, don't worry, fellas. And then we actually get Barry Pepper saying something here. So, at this point, he stands there, and he's also trying to reassure everyone. It's always nice hearing Jackson's drawl with the whole thing. He goes, don't worry, fellas. The 29th Infantry is breaking through. They'll be here soon. And again, he's being reassuring, but he's not really telling them much.
Yeah. I always feel a little bit bad for Barry Pepper, because still, all these years later, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, Battlefield Earth. there he is. I'm sure it's the one thing he doesn't want on his resume. It's like, oh, remember that freaking disaster Scientology movie you made with Travolta?
Makes you wonder if Travolta is what he thinks about that nowadays.
yeah. That's and also too, apparently Giovanni Ribisi, a very, very active Scientologist there too. So I don't know if Barry Pepper himself is. He's just like, it's some bullshit sci-fi movie I signed up for, man. I don't know anything about it. And then Giovanni been like, it's a masterpiece. What are you talking about?
Maybe at the time he was. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe it was like Giovanni Ribisi went to see Battlefield Earth, and that's what made him a Scientologist, because he was like, yeah, my friend from Private Ryan, Barry Pepper, was in this movie. And I liked it. I thought it was great.
That could be, too. There is a possibility of that.
You know that red carpet they were out there with those tin cans with the bit of string going like, oh, hey, everyone, did you enjoy the film? Why don't you have why don't you register your interest with our newsletter over here? The thing is, Barry Pepper has been so many great things, though. Like, he doesn't deserve that legacy. He should be beyond Battlefield Earth by now.
Right.
It should be like, oh, yeah. He played like Ned Pepper in True Grit as well. It was just like the Coen brothers' laziest casting. It's like, Ned Pepper, who did we get to play that part? Is there a guy called Pepper? Yeah, he could do it. Sure, go ahead.
Well, it's like the... what movie was that? It was Alan Quarterman King Solomon's Mines, where they said that they wanted they said get that stone woman, and they were talking about they wanted Kathleen Turner from Romancing the Stone, but they misunderstood it and hired Sharon Stone instead.
Oh, you know, Sharon Stone, just like, hey, just sheer luck of the draw, just having this last name.
That's right. And that was before she became very intimate with everyone watching her movies.
Yeah. She's still just Police Academy's Sharon Stone at that point.
I don't even think she was that at that point. This was 85. Wow. So she was probably in Police Academy in like 86, I think. Because I think she was maybe, I don't know. Maybe.
I didn't have a thing too recently with when they're casting She-Hulk, and also it was Tatiana Maslany, the cast. But I believe the casting notice was like, we want an Alison Brie type. And then Alison Brie was like, I'm right here. Like, what the hell? What do you mean an Alison Brie type? I'll play the part if you want. It's like, no, we need a type. We don't need you specifically. We just want someone with that vibe.
That's a little insulting.
Like, yeah, no, totally. I'll be like, what the hell? I'm with you. You want someone with my vibe? I'm a person with my vibe. It's like, yeah, not enough, though. we want this lady over here, though. The cheaper Alison Brie, I guess.
Yeah, at that point, that is true, that you sort of do need that. Right, okay, so here is what happened. She was in King Solomon's Mines in 85 and in 86. She was in Alan Quarterman in The Lost City of Gold. And then she was on in Police Academy 4 in 87. So there you go.
Wow. It feels like Police Academy 4 is like a step down at that point, really. Because I grew up in those Police Academy movies, and I can tell you.
I don't know. Have you seen either of those King Solomon and the Mayans movies?
No, not in a long time.
They were both terrible. So
it's a harsh pill for her to swallow to be like, no, Police Academy 4 was the step up.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And then from there she went to Action Jackson.
Oh man, what if that is a step up right there. Action Jackson, freaking great. I'm surprised Action Jackson isn't more famous, quite frankly, because it's incredible.
Well,
it's
Carl Weathers was a great actor, but he wasn't a lead.
I don't know.
I think he was good as a co-lead. He was never good as a lead.
I think that film has so many ridiculous, like bombastic, over the top action bullplot elements. That every time I watch it, I'm like, I can't believe that they were like, anyone ever take this seriously. And stuff. But, I feel like, yeah, it's Joel Silver. It's all like, it's the Steven D'Souza. It's all the Predator Die Hard crew
that's right.
around it. Mm-hmm. I was like, how is this not like a classic with people? But maybe it is. Maybe Carl Weathers just couldn't, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, he's no Arnie. He's not even Stallone. He's just, you know, he's Carl Weathers, but he's maybe you're right. It's just, he didn't have that leading man quality. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just needed to go home and get a stew going to feed his family. But yeah.
No, well, what can you do? That's Carl Weathers, was great in so many things.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we can do. We're very pro Carl Weathers on this.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Because there's so many people in this movie. I'm surprised Carl Weathers doesn't pop up, quite frankly. Because, like, again, even at the end of this minute, you get another, like, oh, it's that guy. You know, there's another classic, just like, yeah, there's whatever, you know, young up-and-coming actor from the 90s was just around. Was just like, yeah, of course, you're all getting drafted, fellas. All of you are coming in.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. They continue with this whole thing. Obviously, we have Jackson trying to calm people down a little bit and stuff like that. And then we hear in the distance...
Action Jackson himself shows up to calm people down. There you go. Which is very exciting.
That's right. And then in the background, we...
drove his Ferrari in through the in through the fields and then leapfrogged over it into some waiting boots.
Yeah. And then we hear a soldier in the background go, plasma. Anybody got plasma? You know, just trying to keep us... you know, drawn in, try to make us care about what's going on. And then there's a soldier that's sitting on the ground that goes, Captain, hey, Captain. And so Miller starts walking towards him. And he goes, Soldier, you want to fill me in? And he goes, yeah, Lieutenant DeWint, sir. 99th Troop Carrier Squadron, carrying in 327th Glider. So, do you recognize this actor? Have you ever seen him before?
I do. I recognize that actor almost to his detriment in the past. I've recognized that actor because I know that's Leland Orser. Most famously to me for his part in Seven.
Okay.
With the you know, do you recall his part in Seven?
Yes,
he's a very very memorable role in that, like. There's no pleasant way to talk about what his part is in that during the lust victim, John Doe attaches a razor sharp dildo to him and forces him to have sex with a prostitute and essentially kills her. And then it cuts to like him being interrogated and Leland Orser having to recite what happened and having a complete like mental breakdown while he's doing, like really he's going into a whole panic. Really good performance, like, you know, very, you know, he's having to do some tough work. But when I saw that, though, that scene left such an impact on me that like a year or two later, when I saw The Bone Collector with Denzel Washington and you hear the killer's voice, I instantly knew, oh, it's that guy from Seven, because that he popped up as a minor character. And then when you're like, well, who's The Bone Collector going to turn out to be? I'm like, He sounds exactly like that guy from Seven, and there that guy from Seven is right there, so I know it's going to be him. So, Lena Norser being almost too good of a, it's that guy actor, where you remember him, you remember his voice, and you remember his face. But he gave the game away, man. They cast too memorable a voice in, for that film. But and another fellow constantly popping up here, there, and everywhere to this day. You still think things with Lena Norser just sort of swaggering on through, but where do you know him?
See, I've always known him from ER. He was
ER.
Yeah,
okay.
He was on the show ER as I think it was like a heart doctor or something like that. He was in 61 episodes. He played Lucien DeBanco.
Lucien DeBanco, what a name! Holy moly!
Yeah.
But what's he doing just sitting around his ass over here? Seriously. Clearly they need medical attention. Hop to it.
Completely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he has 91 IMDb credits. But what I found even more fascinating about him is that he's been married twice. Do you have any idea who either or both of his wives were?
Oh, no, I had no idea what.
Okay, so in the 80s,
it's going to make it for like Rita Wilson or something in Tom.
No. That would be very funny. But in the 80s, he was actually married for 2 years to Roma Downey. Do you know who that is?
Oh, okay. Roma Downey. I know the name, but not why don't you fill in the audience?
She was in the TV show Touched by an Angel.
Which
she was in 211 episodes of that show. You know, that was like the show at the time for her. And what I found even more interesting when I was looking into Roma Downey is that she's been married three times. She was married first to Lena Norser, then she was married to a director, okay, whose name is, of course, whenever you need it, it's not there. that she was married to a director named David Ansbach. Do you know who that is?
I do not, because I've quickly IMDb'd him myself.
So he directed both Hoosiers and Rudy.
Yeah.
You know,
I think those are the. Rudy's a much bigger deal in America than it is over
here. Well,
of course,
I'm assuming Hoosiers isn't much of a big deal in England either. You know.
Yeah, but the point that I remember when Vince Vaughn was on Hot Ones and they got into the whole thing about Rudy, it's like, I still don't know what Rudy is though. Like, what was he? He was some sick guy who played football? Is that what happened? Like, who is this?
Not really, but okay. And then it's Sean Astin playing a guy who was short and was a football player and still wanted to make the team.
That's all it is. He was short. They made a whole movie about that. Jesus Christ.
Yes. No, he was. He didn't fit the build that one would expect. You know.
I thought he had cancer or something.
No.
He was just short. Come
on. Yeah, he was short. And then her third husband is a guy named Mark Burnett, who is the producer of a whole bunch of reality TV shows, including Survivor and The Apprentice and the one of those music ones. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Whatever. And, you know, I think The Voice. Well, The Voice.
The talent show.
Exactly. But The Voice. Friends. Yeah, it was The Voice. So it's just amazing that the number of Shark Tank he also did, you know, so it's just, it's just amazing, you know, the way that. So, okay, now back to Lena Norser. Who's his current wife? Jan Triplehorn.
Oh wow! I know her. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they've been married for 24 years now. So I just found it really just funny. And we were talking, you know, earlier about Sharon Stone. So there you have the Sharon Stone, Jan Triplehorn connection and all that stuff. Just you know, great. Yeah. It's good to find these types of connections.
She's also up for playing Chase Meridian in Batman Forever, as I recall. They're going through a couple of people. Rene Russo was the big one that they're like, they almost cast, and then they're like, no, she's too old for Val Kilmer. And then they cast like 24-year-old Nicole Kidman or something against 36-year-old Val Kilmer. It's like, I think you guys spun out in the other direction there, guys. But now you have Gian Triplehorn. Remember, her name was always popped up in there. But like, yeah, well, the survivors of Waterworld, I guess, might be one of. You know, she went through her own World War II, I guess, being on that set.
That's true.
And going through all that stuff. Jeez Louise.
That's very true. Wow. Okay. And that's pretty much how this minute ends, with him starting to give a little bit of an explanation to Miller as to what's going on. Every Thursday, we have a segment called Say What Thursday. Say what? Say what again? And the idea here is that every character in this movie, there's so many of them, are familiar people from other movies. So the game that we are going to play is I'm going to give you a quote, and I'm going to tell you the year that the movie came out, and you have to try and guess who the actor is who says this quote, and obviously what movie it is. Okay. Now, obviously, because there are so many people here, because there are so many people here, I've given you only three people to choose from. It'll be either a quote said by Vin Diesel, Tom Hanks, or Tom Sizemore. Okay, it's one of the three.
All right. Okay. But where are you going to start reciting like Leland Orser's dialogue from Seven?
No.
It's gonna be a dark segment.
Yes. Yes, all right. So remember, it could be Tom Hanks, Tom Sizemore, or Vin Diesel. All right. So we shall start.
Two Toms and a Vin.
There you go. All right. So the quote is from a movie from 2000, where it says, "Faith. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a girlfriend named Faith. She cheated on me with a girl named Chastity."
Oh. That's.
Is that Tom Hanks, Tom Sizemore, or Vin Diesel?
For somebody that feels like I can imagine Tom Sizemore saying that in a kind of jokey way. But for some reason, my gut wants to go Tom Sizemore.
And it is Tom Sizemore.
Oh, nice. Oh, there we go.
So what movie is it from 2000?
2000? I don't think, it's not going to be like Red Planet.
It actually would be. That's a great guess. There you go. All right. See, you did very well there.
Who knew that I had so much knowledge about Tom Sizemore's early 2000s career?
Apparently you do. All right. Huh? The next one, a movie from 2002. And the quote is, "The things I'm going to do for my country."
Okay.
Now, it could be Tom Sizemore, Tom Hanks, or Vin Diesel.
I kind of want to go... What was it? 2000? Was Pitch Black 2002? Because I kind of want to think it might have been a thing that Riddick said.
It's not. Pitch Black. Pitch Black is. Oh, I don't know why I'm thinking Pitch Black is from 2000, but it could be 2002. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it might have been a thing he said when he agreed to be let
Pitch
go.
Pitch Black is 2000. Like, yes, so it's not Pitch Black.
Yeah.
It's 2002.
Oh, but is it? But you're not saying no to Vin Diesel. So is it?
It is Vin Diesel. Yes.
So then, well, it'd be 2002. It's got to be one of the. It's got to be one of the Fast and the Furious. Is at that point? Right?
No, it is not.
Wow. So a 2002 non Pitch Black, non Fast and Furious Vin Diesel.
Correct.
I don't know.
It's another franchise that he was in. It's a franchise that only had two movies.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Triple X.
That's right. Very good.
There we go. Yeah. Now it makes total sense that he would say that in that movie as well.
Exactly. All right. The next one is from 2009. Mm. Okay. It starts with the eyes. She's going to have those kind of eyes that look right through the bullshit to the good someone. 20% angel, 80% devil, down to earth, and afraid to get a little engine grease under her fingernails.
That dialogue does sound familiar to me, actually, as well. I don't know. Well, I'll see. I'm going to do the process of elimination because we've had Sizemore and we've had Vin Diesel. So I don't want to just go like, well, obviously it must be Tom Hanks then. But I think at the time, that would have been during like all the Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons era, right, of Tom Hanks. But then what do you call his character in that? Like Robert, what's his face?
Robert Langdon.
Would he have said Robert Langdon? Would Robert Langdon have said those lines? I think I'll throw that out though. Has been like because Da Vinci Code was 2005, I think. So I remember.
No, it was not 2005.
2006? 1952. I remember being in, oh no, it would have been maybe 2007, because I think the book might have been 2005 when all the controversy.
Da Vinci Code is 2006. The movie
2006.
Right, and this is 2009.
Yeah, so then, but then Angels and Demons would have come out around 2009, I think. So
I think Angels and Demons was maybe 2010. No, it was 2009, but it's not this movie.
It's not the Tom Hanks movie we're looking for.
How do you know it's a Tom Hanks movie?
But that's the thing, yeah. Though, that also does sound very Tom Sizemore-ish dialogue, because it's a bit sleazy. So it's kind of got. I think I can imagine him saying something along those lines. But I wouldn't know. Is it Tom Sizemore in Red Planet 2? Redder Planet?
No. It's not Tom Sizemore, and it is not Ritter Planet.
God damn it. No, I don't think I could guess that one then. Give it to me. Who said it, and in what?
It is Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious.
Ah, god damn it. But then 2009 is going to be like Fast and Furious 4? Like, at what point were they there in 2009? Because no offense to the Fast and Furious movie.
Fast and Furious. So I think that's the fourth one, I believe. I could be wrong.
they blend. They're like the modern day police academy in that, like, you can remember sequences from them.
Right.
But you can't remember which specific movie it was in. It's just like, it was in the Fast and Furious era somewhere. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right, next one is from 2004. There's got to be one speed, mine. If you can't keep up, don't step up. You'll just die.
It feels like that's a leading one, because that sounds like that's going to be from a Fast and Furious. And it's going to be a Vin Diesel. But I don't. I feel you're trying to be trickier with me that way, Rob. So I don't trust it. Could it be... a shot in the dark and say it's Tom Hanks, Catch Me If You Can?
No, that was 2002.
Oh, god damn it. Catch Me If You Can to Catch Harder. is it Tom Hanks at least?
It is not Tom Hanks.
And it's no. not is it just Vin Diesel in like fat, you know, Too Fast, Too Furious?
It is Vin Diesel, but it is not in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Is it in Triple X 2?
No.
Oh, god damn it, man.
Go with his third series.
Is it going to be Chronicles of Riddick?
Yes, it is.
Oh, there we go. I only saw the Chronicles of Riddick because in the TV listings one night, they claimed that they were showing Monster. You know, with Charlize Theron and Christina Ricci.
Okay, yeah.
And sat down to watch it, and it was just like, oh, this seems to be like it's Chronicles of Riddick. Like, it was mid-movie, and I was like, oh, this must be the end of it. And then it just turned out some scheduling snafu had happened, and I just sat and watched the entirety of Chronicles of Riddick thinking that Monster was going to start any minute. and then 2 hours later, I was like, man, this ending's long. Like, what? I think they might be a smidge off schedule here, and then it turned out like no, we had to, you know, some news event they had to cancel showing Monster. I didn't see Monster until like 3 or 4 years later after that then too. So, but I did. I was forced. Well, I was like forced. I could have just not watched it, but yeah, duped into watching Chronicles of Riddick. So,
oh wow, okay, all right, and the final one from 1994. Jesus Christ, Dwight. You could be on American Gladiators.
that also feels like a Sizemore kind of line. But then what would he have been in 94? Heat's 95. Point Break's like 90 or 91.
Point Break's
91. So,
right.
Yeah. But then we've not had a Tom Hanks. But then 94. Would have been Forrest Gump. So, and that's not a Forrest Gump line. So,
No, it is not.
Yeah, very much. So I'm gonna stick with Sizemore because it feels like something he would say.
Yes, it is Sizemore. You are correct.
It is Sizemore. Okay, but what would he have been in '94? It's not like the True Romance is '93. I don't even know if he's actually in that.
He's in True Romance in '93. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. He's in Natural Born Killers, right?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. Oh, there we go.
Excellent. Great job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, I know a lot more about Tom Sizemore than I thought. I always thought he was like, oh, yeah, that kind of like that very unpleasant figure of Tom Sizemore. It just turns out like, oh, I've seen a lot of the stuff he's in, I guess.
Apparently. okay. So, Niall, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Let's see. I'll plug anything new, or I'll just go back over the. I'll do them in reverse this time. So this Thursday, I'll once again plug Miami Minutes, which is a movie about a different kind of war, a ninja war, on the streets of Florida, that of course was raging throughout the mid '80s, and could only be defeated by the power of Taekwondo and the hit pop rock band Dragon Sound, which is all documented in the hit movie that was lost for 20 plus years because nobody went to see it when it came out. Miami Connection, and me and my friend John talked about each and every moment of that movie in all its ridiculous detail, 1 minute at a time. And you can find that at Miami Minutes on Google. If you go onto your podcatchers, Miami Minutes will get you there. And then Spotify, etc. We're all over the place. So yeah, Miami Minutes.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movearoundminute@moveyourob.net. So now you want to come back tomorrow to finish off the week.
So I think I have to earn this.
Okay.
Earn my spot here by there doing a full week. So yes.
All right. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude, you